By the end of first canto, Shukadeva Goswami arrived, Parikshit Maharaj received him and worshipped him and then asked that what is the best thing for everyone at all time and especially for a person at the time of death, what is the best thing to do? So in response, Shukadeva Goswami started and we clarified his question by telling that what is to be heard, what is not to be heard, what is to be remembered, what is not to be remembered, what is to be discussed and what is not to be discussed. So in response, first Shukadeva Goswami appreciates Parikshit Maharaj. Wonderful question. In fact, this is the best question that anyone can ask because lokahitam, because you are thinking about the benefit of all people. So therefore, I will answer your question. He says that for those people who are not interested in the subject matter of self-realization, there are unlimited topics to discuss. And such people spend their night time in sleep and sex life, and during the day they work very hard to maintain their family. But even though these activities do not sound very exciting, but still they very enthusiastically engage in these activities because they are very deeply attached to their family members. Deha apatya kalatradishu. And somehow there is a feeling that these people would protect them from death. But I would say that the best thing to do, the best way to engage oneself either while dying or while living is Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichchatabhayam. Anyone who desires freedom from fear, this is how he should engage himself. But one may say that, but these Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. seem to be the limbs of bhakti. So, is it a universal process that you are suggesting? So, he says that as long as one does not realize what is the goal of life, the ultimate goal of life, there are many, many paths. But the moment one realizes what is the ultimate goal of life, he should give up all the other practices and he should practice Shuddha Bhakti. Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharma Parinishtaya Janmalabha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. And then he says there are many, many sages who were originally Jnana Yogis and Ashtanga Yogis, but when they understood what the ultimate goal of life is, they gave it up and practiced Shuddha Bhakti. And if you want a more specific example, take my example. I studied Bhagavatam under my father Vyasadev, and before studying, I was a very firm impersonalist. When I heard this Bhagavatam from my father, I was transformed. And now what I am going to speak to you in response to your question is that very same Bhagavatam that I received from my father Vyasadeva. And if you hear this Bhagavatam attentively, then very soon your mind will be fixed on Krishna. So therefore this Bhagavatam or this knowledge of Bhagavatam or Bhakti is characterized by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, etc. But of all these paths, the most powerful path is Harir Namanu Kirtanam, Harinam Sankirtan. But one may say that it may be powerful, but is it powerful enough to deliver a person who has just 7 days to live? He gives the example of Katvanga Maharaj. He said that Katvanga Maharaj had just one muhurta to live. Literally one muhurta. But he exactly knew what to do. So therefore, for a person who knows what to do, how to engage oneself, one muhurta is sufficient to perfect his life. But for one who does not know how to engage oneself, what is the use of hundreds of years? So therefore, you have 7 full days, my dear Parikshit Maharaj. So therefore, do the needful to accomplish the highest goal. Then he says that even though I have spoken to you, I have established that Harinam Sankirtan is the topmost, But not everyone may agree with this proposal. Not everyone may agree with this proposal. Some people think that the highest goal of life is impersonal liberation, and the means to attain that impersonal liberation is Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga. So first let me describe that path of Ashtanga Yoga to attain liberation, and let's try to objectively evaluate whether that's the best prayojan, and is if these are the best abhideya and prayojana. So he starts describing the path of Ashtanga Yoga to attain liberation, impersonal liberation. So he says that this Ashtanga Yoga is characterized by Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So he describes Yama, Niyama, how one should not live at home, one should leave home, take regular baths, go to a secluded place, perform asanas like that. So Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama. So Pranayama is meant for controlling the mind, so that with the controlled mind one can control the senses, which is Pratyahara. And he says that by that controlled mind one can meditate on the object of meditation, the auspicious object of meditation, Shubharte. And then when one meditates in this way, when one develops fairly good concentration while meditating on this general form of the Lord, which is characterized as Dharana, then one becomes qualified to come to the next stage, which is called Dhyana, where the individual limbs of the Supreme Lord are meditated upon. And then when one gets, one gains fairly good concentration practicing the Dhyana, then that Dhyana intensifies into the stage of Samadhi, where the mind even for a moment does not get distracted from anything other than the object of meditation. That is the stage of Samadhi. Okay. But don't think that this Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi will be easy, because the previous impressions of Rajas and Tamas will create a very significant obstacle to one's constant meditation. But if there is a if there is an obstruction created, then but if one very firmly sticks to the process of this yogino bhakti lakshana, of this yoga which is performed with an element of bhakti, which is actually yoga mishra bhakti, one can very soon attain the perfection of one's practice. So at this point of time, Parikshit Maharaj, who has all the while been hearing, he is wondering, hey, you have spoken so much, but you have not spoken whom should the yogi meditate upon? And how this dharana is achieved? Is it automatic or one has to endeavor? What is this? And you spoke about obstructions being created by the impressions of Rajas and Tamas. How does one quickly overcome those obstructions? So these three questions he has. How is dharana accomplished? What is the object of meditation of that yogi? And how one can easily overcome Yadrishiva Hare Dashu Purushasya Manomalam? How one can easily or quickly overcome the contaminations within the mind? So at this point of time, Sukadeva Goswami says that look, if comfortably one is not able to meditate on the form of the Lord, then one has to evaluate, come back and check the basics. Jitasano, Jitashwaso, Jitasango, Jitendriya. Stule Bhagavato Rupe Manasandarayadya. See, if the asana is proper, then see if the pranayama is properly performed. If that is also good, then check pratyahara and everything. So if everything is proper and still there are these impressions which are troubling, then that person is not yet qualified to meditate on the Paramatma form of the Lord, he should be meditating on the Virat form of the Lord. Stule Bhagavato Rupe Manasandara Yaddiya. So what is this Stula Bhagavat Rup? He says this universal form is solid, more solid than the solid, and within that form is present the past, present and future. He says that this universal form is covered by the seven layers, and this universal form which is made of this universe and covered by these seven layers should be the object of meditation of that yogi whose mind is not yet purified of material contaminations. So this is called the Yoga Ruruksha stage. In the early stage of yoga, one meditates on the Virat Purusha. But we saw this flowchart, if you remember. He performs Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara. But before reaching the stage of Dharana, if he realizes that his heart is purified completely, or purified to a fairly good extent, then he can meditate on the Paramatma form of the Lord. So he meditates on the Paramatma form. He performs Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. And after Samadhi, he leaves his body by the practice of Shat Chakra Yoga. And the practice of Shat Chakra Yoga, he immediately gives up his gross and subtle body at once, and the soul leaves through the Brahmarandra and merges in the Brahmaloka. Brahmajyoti. Okay. This is the direct liberation that is attained by the first kind of Paramatma meditating yogi. But after Pratyahara, if still the yogi finds that his heart is troubled with material sense gratificatory impressions, then instead of meditating on the Paramatma form, he should rather meditate on the universal form of the Lord. When he meditates on the universal form of the Lord, slowly, slowly he realizes that, you know, all these sense gratificatory desires, what I want to enjoy in this world actually belong to this personality. So therefore I should give up my sense gratificatory desires. So slowly, slowly over a period of time, he may give up his sense gratificatory desires and he may become qualified to meditate on the Paramatma form of the Lord. At which point he performs Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi and Paramatma. Then performs Shat Chakra Yoga, gives up his body and merges in the impersonal Brahmajyoti. But there could be some practitioners who have a very heavy baggage and they are still not able to give up their sense gratificatory desires. So such persons are recommended to meditate on the Virat form only. And when they continue to meditate on the Virat form, perform Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, etc. on the Virat form, and at the time of giving up their body, they don't give it up by practicing Shat Chakra Yoga. They give up their body in a natural way and they travel. They don't give up their subtle body. Only the gross body is given up. They travel with their subtle body and they go through a process which is called Krama Mukti or Archiradi Marga. They go through that Marga and they undergo gradual liberation or Krama Mukti. So these two things will be described in the rest of this chapter and the second chapter. That's what we are going to see now. Okay. So then he says that then the description of that universal form is there. You know, how the Patala is his souls and Rasatala, how the 14 planetary systems, then the Brahmanas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmacharis, Kshatriyas, etc., all of them occupy the various limbs of this universal form. Description of the universal form is there in this next section. We all have already seen it. That brings us to the end of this first chapter. Okay. Then, in the second chapter, he says that this description of the universal form which I have given, even though it's imaginary, but it's definitely a bona fide description, because Brahmaji, once when he forgot how to create, he meditated on this universal form and then he got back his memory for performing his secondary creation. So therefore, meditating on the universal form is a bona fide sadhana. But there are other people who may be attracted to the Karmakandiya sections of the Vedas, and Shukadeva Goswami says that that is not a very glorious path at all. So this morning our Ramadan Gopal Prabhu was also mentioning about Pravritti Marga and Navritti Marga. So he says that this Pravritti Marga of Karmakanda is useless, because these Karmakandiya sections of the Vedas promise something which is very temporary. So therefore one is bound to get disappointed after losing that temporary thing. So therefore an intelligent person is not after these temporary things. Rather, he attempts to take up the path of Nivritti Marga, in which one meditates on either the Lord within the heart, or one takes up to the path of Bhakti. And he performs only those activities, he works only so much to keep his body and soul together. Then one may ask, what does it mean to work only to the extent of keeping the body and soul together? He says, Satyam Shitau Kim Kashipo Prayasar. When there is earth, what is the need for bed? When there are hands, what is the need for pillow? When you have palms, what is the need for vessels to cook for food and so on? And if one is so detached that he wants to accept only the barest of the bare minimum from this world of names and perform his sadhana, then such a person is qualified to meditate on the Paramatma form of the Lord. And then, who is that Paramatma? That description of the Paramatma form is there from verses 8 to 11. Kechit Svadaya Dehantar Hridaya Avakashe Pradesha Matram. So the description of the form of the Paramatma is described in 8 to 11 verses. And then he says that this yogi starts meditating on this form first on the general form of this Paramatma. Then ekaika shongani dhyana bhavayet. Then he starts meditating on the individual limbs, which is dhyana. And then, but he again clarifies here that but if one has not developed a devotional disposition towards this form of the Lord within the heart, yavan na jayeta paravaresmin Vishveshwara drashtari bhakti yoga tavat staviya purushasya rupam kriyavasane prayatasmareta. So as long as one has not developed the devotional disposition towards the Lord within the heart, then he should continue meditating on the Virat form of the Lord. And then he very briefly describes Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara that was already described in the previous chapter. Then when he reaches the stage of Samadhi, that stage of Samadhi is called Labdhopashanti. Labdhopashanti means cessation of material life. Which means at this stage he becomes a Jivan Mukta. He is not yet liberated, but he has become a Jivan Mukta stage. So that stage of Labdhopashanti or Jivan Mukta is described as being free from the influence of time, maya, the modes of sattva, rajas, tamas, etc. He says that this yogi wants to merge in the Brahman, but in order to merge in the Brahman, he worships the personal form of the Lord. Hridopa guhyarha padam pade pade. Within his heart, he embraces the lotus feet of the Lord, even though he wants to merge in the Brahman feature of the Lord. Visrujya dauratnyam. He gives up that bad intelligence which says that the Lord has no form, which says that the Lord's form is material and so on, or which says that the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Lord is superior to the personal aspect. All these kinds of improper understanding is given up by this person. Even though he wants to merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. And thus when he comes to this stage of Labdhopashanti, at that point of time he performs Shat Chakra Yoga, where by performing appropriate asanas through the yogic path, he blocks all the 9 holes and forces the living entity to escape through the Brahmarandhra. The living entity escapes through the Brahmarandhra while giving up both the gross and subtle body at the same time and merges in the Brahma Jyoti. This is what is described in till verse 21. But as mentioned before, if the living entity, if the yogi has material desires, if he wants to enjoy at least, like we discussed the other day, someone may have multiple prayojans. Someone may have an ultimate prayojan and an intermediate prayojan. Like we saw, someone may want to go to Delhi, but he wants to travel to Delhi comfortably only. Rajdhani mein hi jana hai, because Rajdhani has very good pantry, and I want to go to Delhi, no doubt, but I want to travel only in Rajdhani and have a very nice time eating all the nice delicacies that are prepared there. So one may have multiple prayojans, one ultimate prayojan, but while attaining that ultimate prayojan, one may also have some intermediate prayojanas. Those are these karma muktas. They want to ultimately attain impersonal liberation only, but before attaining it, they also want to check out these various other heavenly planets where there is some enjoyment. So such people, saha eva gacchen manasendriyaischa, such people, while giving up their body, they give up only the gross body, but they travel with their subtle body to these various planets. So this is called Krama Mukti, and there are 13 destinations, the 13th destination being Brahmaloka, after which, along with Brahma, they also attain impersonal liberation. Okay. So this path is also called Archiradi Marga. Some of these destinations are mentioned in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Not all 13 are mentioned. First is called the planet of Archi, which is mentioned here as Vaishvanara Loka. And then there are other lokas that are mentioned. Then finally Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, then Satyaloka. And after that, he has two options. Either he could enjoy in Satyaloka till the end of Brahmaji's lifetime, or if he wants to leave before Brahmaji's lifespan ends, then he first goes to the layer of earth, where he enjoys the sense of smell while getting an appropriate body. Then he becomes satisfied, gives up that body and goes to the next layer of water, where he enjoys the sense of taste, attaining a watery body. Then he gives up that body, gives up that desire at that level, goes to the layer of fire, air, ether and so on. And finally, he comes to the layer of Mahatattva, into which he comes to the level of Ahankar, where he deposits his mind, senses, intelligence, everything which he had collected from the layer of Ahankar. Then he deposits the layer of Ahankar in Mahatattva, then he deposits the layer of Mahatattva in Pradhan. And after that, now he is completely free. He merges into the Brahma Jyoti. So this Krama Mukti description was given in this last section of this chapter, till verse 32. And then he said, Shukadeva Goswami says that actually what I have described to you, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, this is not my mental speculation. These two paths of direct mukti and krama mukti have been described long before by the Supreme Lord to Brahmaji. And Brahmaji very nicely with devotion pleased the Supreme Lord. Being pleased with Brahmaji's devotion, the Supreme Lord described these two paths to Brahma. So therefore, I am not making up these two paths. But having said, mentioned about these two paths, there is, in my conclusion, nahyatonya shiva panta vishatah samsritavah vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga yato bhavet. There is no path which is more auspicious than the path of bhakti yoga for those suffering in this material world, because that's what produces the highest prayojan of prema. But one may say that it is the opinion of Shukadeva Goswami. he has rightly described the paths of liberation by Ashtanga Yoga, but in conclusion, his conclusion is his own speculation, one may say. So he says, no, no, it's not my own speculation. Actually, the Supreme Lord himself reviewed the Vedas 3 times and he came to the conclusion that the highest sadhana is sadhana bhakti and the highest prayojan is prema. In another explanation, Srila Prabhupada writes that actually Brahmaji evaluated the Vedas 3 times and after reviewing it, he came to this conclusion that the highest sadhana is sadhana bhakti and the highest prayojan is prema. So it's not my own opinion. And then he says that, so how do we know that someone like the Supreme Lord exists? How do we know that someone like the living entity exists? Is there a way to understand this without accepting the Shabda Praman? He says, yeah, to some extent we can understand. He says, Bhagavan Sarva Bhuteshi Lakshita Swatmana Harihi Drishair Budhyadivir Drashta Lakshanair Anumapakaihi. He says, one can understand through logic also that the existence of soul. Like one can see the that how the senses are acting, the intelligence is acting, the mind is acting when the person is alive, but they all are inactive when the person is dead, which means there must be some animating force which through these agencies of mind, intelligence and the senses are performing the activities. So therefore one through logic can accept, understand the presence of the soul. And how can one understand the presence of Paramatma through Anuman? Whenever two people may be similarly endowed with all capabilities and they may be putting the same effort, one of them is successful, another is not successful. So therefore from this one can understand that there is a greater force which is controlling the results. So that greater force, you may call it Paramatma, you may call it Bhagavan, whatever it is, but at least through Anuman you can understand the existence of a greater force. Okay. So then he says, therefore my dear Parikshit Maharaj, Tasmat Sarvatmana Rajan Haris Sarvatra Sarvada Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavya Bhagavan Pranam. Therefore, now that I have established that the path of bhakti is the topmost, therefore I suggest that one should practice this path of bhakti which is characterized by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, etc. And if one accepts this path of bhakti which is characterized by this Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, then drinking the nectarian beverage of the Lord's holy names and Krishna Katha, punantite vishaya vidushita ashayam prajantita charanah saroruhantikam. One's heart becomes purified and one goes to the, one is taken to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one achieves all perfection. Like that, by explaining these two paths of liberation, he eventually establishes the superiority of bhakti over all of them. That is the end of the second chapter. So now we will start the third chapter, but before that I'll just take a very short break. 1 minute break. So let's continue. So then one may say, okay, but some people may believe that the ultimate goal of life is to enjoy material benefits by worshipping these various demigods. So in response to this, he describes about these various kinds of people who worship the demigods for getting various things. But finally he says that this is not really a recommendation by the scriptures. In this regard, we discussed in detail, if you remember, that how demigod worship is non-Vedic because it is born out of Subhavajam Shraddha. It is not born out of Shastriya Shraddha. So therefore, demigod worship is not accepted by, the Vedas as being Vedic. So this we discussed in detail. But in conclusion, Shukadeva Swami says, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara dehi, ti tivrena bhakti yogena ejayata purusham param. So therefore an intelligent person, irrespective of whatever desire he may have, he will worship the Supreme Lord with tivrena bhakti yogena, with jnana karma dhyanavrita bhakti. But one may say we had elaborate discussions here. So, but one may say that, if you say that the ultimate thing is to worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu, then at what stage of their worship will these demigod worshippers become worshippers of Vishnu? Which is never. The demigod worshippers will not automatically become worshippers of Vishnu at any stage of their worship. Bhagavati achalo bhavo yad bhagavata sangataha. The only means of their becoming worshippers of Vishnu is if somehow or other they get the association of devotees. And then he says that, the nature of this bhakti knowledge that one gets is jnanam yada pratinivritta gunarmi chakram. This knowledge is beyond three modes and it can pull one outside the three modes. Tapatrayonmulanam. And this path of bhakti or this knowledge of bhakti has the stamp of approval of all the great acharyas. So therefore, who is that person who would not be attracted to this path of bhakti, which is characterized by hearing Harikatha and chanting the holy names of the Lord? Ko nirvito Harikatha suratim nakuryat. Like that. And then he says, so now that he has given a very comprehensive presentation of these various paths, popular paths and the various popular prayojans, and established the supremacy of Shuddha Bhakti as the topmost sadhana and Prema as the topmost prayojan. So at this point of time, Shaunakadi Rishis become little concerned that it seems like the question asked by Parikshit Maharaj has been answered, but the conversation would have gone for 7 days. How is it that Suta Goswami is seemingly finishing it very fast? So in order to inspire Suta Goswami, Shaunakadi Rishis ask, my dear Suta Goswami, in the association of Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, definitely further discussions would have happened. We know that for sure. And we have given up everything. We have come here to hear about that conversation that happened between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. So please do not cut short this story. You are a Vidwan and we are very eager to hear. This is the best combination. Any eager hearer needs a good speaker, and any good speaker needs eager audience. So we are eager audience and you are a very good speaker. So you should please speak about the conversation that happened between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami in full. And then they glorify Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami as usual. Parikshit Maharaj is actually such a great personality that even when he was a child, he used to play imitating the pastimes of Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami is also not an ordinary personality. He was also a Vasudeva Parayana. So therefore, in their assembly, definitely wonderful Krishna Katha would have happened. And we are very much aware of the importance of Krishna Katha. We know that life of a person who is not spending it in hearing or discussing Krishna Katha is lost with the every rising and setting of sun. But for a person who is investing it in hearing Krishna Katha and discussing Krishna Katha, all his time that is spent is an investment for eternal life. And we all know that but one may say that, what are you talking about hearing? But people think that living a long life, making merry, having a good time in having sense gratification is the highest achievement. Taravah kim na jeevanti, vastraha kim na shushantita, nakadanti namehanti kimgrame pashavopare. If you think long life is benediction, then the trees live much longer than you. Do you want to be a tree? If you think that a healthy life, breathing very nicely, is the success of life, then the bellows of a blacksmith, it breathes much more powerfully than you. Do you want to be the bellow of a blacksmith? And if you think having wonderful sex life is the ultimate goal of life, then pigeons and asses, they have much better sex life than you. Do you want to be a pigeon or an ass? But one may say, why are you so pessimistic? The whole world glorifies people who are so successful in sense gratification. Shovit varahoshtra karai samstuta purushat pashuhu nayat karna padopeto jatunama gaja grajaha. Those people in whose ears Krishna Katha has never entered, they are like animals, and those who glorify such people are specialized animals like dogs, hogs, camels and donkeys. And that here which has never, into which Krishna Katha has never entered, that is just like a snake hole, and that tongue which has never chanted the Krishna Katha is that just like the tongue of a frog which only invites the snake of time or the snake of death. And that head which has never ever offered obeisances to the Supreme Lord, even though it may be wearing very expensive turban and crown, that very same expensive turban and crown will drown him in the ocean of samsara. And that hands, which are those hands which are not involved in serving the deity, cleaning the temple, they are just hands of a dead body. And those eyes which have never taken darshan of the deity form of the Lord are just useless eyes which seem only beautiful, just like the eyes in the plumes of a peacock feather. And those legs which have never carried one to the temple of the Supreme Lord are just like tree stumps. And that person who has never smeared his whole body with the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees is just like a dead body. And that nose which has never ever smelled the tulsi which has been offered to the lotus feet of the Lord is just like the nose in a dead body. And the heart of that person who which has not manifested the symptoms of Kshantar Avyartha Kalatvam, those anubhavas, nevertheless it may externally show some sattvika bhavas, like tears flowing from the eyes but hair standing on end. But that heart in which these qualities are not manifested, qualities of bhava, even though hearing the holy name, is that such a heart is said to be a steel framed heart. Therefore, my dear Suta Goswami, please speak about further discussions that happened between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami. So that brings us to the end of the third chapter. So now at this point of time, Suta Goswami says, actually after hearing this very powerful presentation by Shukadev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj was very inspired, and he focused his mind more steadily on Krishna. And by that concentration, even though he had no attachment to Atmajaya, Suta, Agara, Pashudravina Bandushu and Rajye, but still he externally also renounced all of that after hearing this powerful presentation on Navritti Marga by Shukadeva Goswami. In that mood, he with great eagerness to hear Krishna Katha, he asked Shukadev Goswami in the same mood and eagerness with which you are questioning me. So what did he ask? And then he also mentioned that he also gave up the Trivargika Karma, which he was anyway not attached to performing, but still he gave it up externally also after hearing this. And and Parikshit Maharaj asks, my dear Shukadev Goswami, your words are perfect because it has removed all the ignorance from my heart. Of course, it's spoken in humility. and therefore I wish to hear further Krishna Katha from you, and especially I wish to hear about primary creation and secondary creation, about which it is very difficult to difficult for even great personalities to understand. In this I wish to know how the Supreme Lord Karanavaru Sai Vishnu, even though he is Nirguna, he accepts various gunas for the purpose of creation, maintenance and discretion and destruction. I wish to know how he alone performs primary creation, and engaging the Brahma and other Prajapatis, how he performs secondary creation, whether this primary creation and secondary creation happens parallelly, simultaneously or sequentially, I would like to know. So therefore, and I see that you are most qualified to answer these questions, because you have received the knowledge in Parampara, realized it, and as a the proof of that realization is you are engaged in devotional service. So therefore, you please answer these questions. Thus, hearing these wonderful questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Swami meditates prayerfully on Rishikesha to empower his senses, especially his sense of speech, to speak about this creation, and in that mood he offers prayers. I don't want to get into the prayers because we will never get out of it. So, you know, prayers. So, then, after offering prayers for empowerment, he says that I will answer these questions by quoting a conversation that happened between Narada Muni and Brahmaji. So Narada Muni once upon a time comes to meet Brahmaji, glorifies Brahmaji. He says that, my dear Brahma, I would like to know about the six questions. Yadrupam yadadrishtanam yatasrishtam idam prabhu yat samstham yat param yaccha tat tattvam vadatattvatah. He says that actually you are the chief engineer of this universe. You must be knowing kara amala kavad, just like a person who holds an amla fruit on his at the middle of his palm can perfectly describe that fruit. Similarly, you are the chief engineer of this universe, so you must be able to answer these questions. Moreover, I don't know of a person, whatever I have observed you, is that you are the source of your own knowledge. I have never seen you being dependent on anyone, taking shelter of anyone. You use your own raw materials to create this universe, just like a spider would create using its own saliva, its own energy. Whenever it wants, it would create. Whenever it does not want, it would dismantle. And you never see a spider getting stuck up in that web. So therefore, all these observations forces me to conclude that you must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I do not know of any person who is the source of anything that you see in this universe, which has a name, form, quality, pastimes, etc. But the only thing that puts me into doubt is that sometimes I see you performing intense tapasya. For pleasing whom do you perform such tapasya? So therefore, please answer all these questions so that I can be free of these doubts. So Brahmaji starts by expressing his gratitude to Narada Muni. You are so kind to me, my dear Narada Muni. Because you have asked these questions, I am inspired to meditate on the Lord of my life. Actually, there is an element of truth to what you speak. People who are covered by this maya think that I am Jagat Guru. Actually, the fact is that whatever the self-manifesting Supreme Personality of Godhead has already created, I only recreate it. It is just like grinding which has already been ground. I don't do anything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Lord. He is so great that being bewildered by one of his insignificant energies, people think that I am Jagat Guru. Then if one of his insignificant energies is so powerful, how much more powerful would the Supreme Lord be? And that maya is very much ashamed of coming in front of the Supreme Lord. And being bewildered by that maya, people speak in terms of me and mine with respect to this material body. That is how you identify such a person. So therefore, never ever think that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now I will answer your questions. Your first question was Yadrupam. What are the characteristics of this universe? Dravyam karma cha kalascha swabhavo jiva evacha vasudevat parabrahman nachanyo arthosti tatvatah. Whatever you see in this material world can be categorized into these five things: dravya, karma, kala, swabhava and jiva. Understand that everything is Vasudev in the sense that everything is an energy of Vasudev. And you spoke, the second question that you asked was, Yadavishthana, what is the shelter? Whatever you see in this material world that you see is capable of giving shelter, understand that Lord Narayana is the shelter of that. Narayana Paraveda, Deva Narayana Angaja, and so on. Then, the question arises, if Lord Narayana is everything, then what do you do then? He says, Tasyapi drashtav ishasya kutasthasya akhilatmanah srijyam sijami srishtoham ikshaya eva abhichoditah. He says that, first thing, I am created by him, and being created by him, he inspires me by his glands to create, and even after giving inspiration, he creates that universe and gives it to me to recreate. Okay, and while I am recreating as the Paramatma, he acts as the witness to empower me. So therefore, what credit can I take? So therefore, understand, my dear Brahmaji, my dear Narada Muni, that the Supreme Lord controls the Maya. Maya controls the three modes. The three modes control the living entities. I am one such living entity which is controlled by the three modes. Never ever equate me with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Now I will answer your third question. Yata Srishtam. How the creation is, creation happens. So, first, Karanabhaka Sai Vishnu glances on the pradhan which comes out of the body of Vishnu. So, that glance consists of Kala, Karma and Swabhava. Okay. Kala is the Kala Shakti and Karma and Swabhava belongs to the Jiva Shakti. Okay. So this happens when the Lord wants to become, one Lord wants to become many, Vibhushur Upadade, which means it's the time of creation. And this Kala, Karma and Swabhava agitate the three gunas in the Pradhan and that manifests into Mahattattva. Then Mahattattva transforms into, by the glance of the Lord, Mahattattva transforms into Ahankar, and this Ahankar further transforms into mind and sense devatas through Sattvic Ahankar, the Karmendriyas, Gyanendriyas, Prana and intelligence through Rajas Ahankar, the five elements and Tanmatras through Tamas Ahankar. So all of this is called Karana Shruti, Karana Srishti. Okay, after these elements are created, then further these elements go and offer their prayers as mentioned in the third canto that you, my dear Lord, you created us to assist you in this universal creation, but because we, all of us are separate, we are not able to assist you in this, so therefore can you bring us together. So he sends his Bibhrat Shakti, cohesive energy to bind all of them. After binding, this universe is floating on the Karanadaka ocean for 1,000 years, and then Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu enters, fills the bottom half with Garbhodaka ocean, lies down in it and differentiates the 14 planetary systems. That's what is described. And then, how does that universal form look like is described in the last section of this 5th chapter. Okay, so half over. I have just 15 more minutes to complete. Okay, I am rolling now, don't stop me. Okay, so now, yeah, that's what, faster than this? Faster than this, okay. Then we spoke the 6th chapter, then the 7th chapter, and then 8th chapter, and over. Okay, anyway, so then he starts answering the next question, which is, yetcha, what constitutes this universe? So in that he describes the second description of the universal form little bit more elaborately, with the purpose of establishing that how the Supreme Lord is both the material and effective cause. In that we saw these two sutras from Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu's subtle sense organ, arises the elements and tanmatra, and from Prabodhaka Sai Vishnu's gross organ arises the sense devata and the subtle sense organ in Virat Roop. The point is that Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu's gross and subtle sense organ both are spiritual, and their vibhuti in this material world is material. It has a different nature. We saw the example of a person and his photograph. The photograph represents the person, but it is not the same as the person in all aspects. So in that sense, we saw this whole description of universal form. Then we discussed on this aspect of Purushasukta confirmed. That was another discussion we had in this chapter. How, what is the relevance of Purushasukta being confirmed? How does it matter? We saw about the Shruti Smriti, how the Shankaracharya's followers first came and all that. And then he says just as the life airs energize the body from both inside and outside, similarly the Supreme Lord energizes the universe from both inside and outside. So on. And then briefly he took a detour and described about this Ekpad and Tripad Vibhuti, just to emphasize that how the Supreme, this material world is not all in all. In fact, it is not so important. The Lord is not attached to it. To describe that, he spoke about the Ekpad and Tripad Vibhuti. Okay, I will not go into that. Who gets to stay there? Who gets to stay in Tripad Vibhuti? And then he says that the Supreme Lord is not at all attached to this material world. Just like when the sun wants to illuminate a particular place, the sun sends only its sun rays. It does not personally come there. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord maintains, creates, maintains and destroys this universe through the agency of his energies, and he does not personally do it. Anyway, when I mentioned to you about the Lord being the material cause of this universe, I have a personal experience of it. So he explains that how the Lord gave Brahmaji the vision to see that literally whatever he sees in this universe actually belongs to the Supreme Lord. So it is mentioned that he collected all the ingredients. Once upon a time when he woke up, he realized that he has to worship the Supreme Lord. He says that he could not see any ingredients other than the limbs, which means he actually saw all the ingredients as being belonging to Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So he collected all the ingredients, performed the sacrifice. Subsequently, the Manos, Prajapatis, everyone, they also performed similar sacrifices. Like that, Brahmaji gives his pratyaksha praman of the Lord being the material cause of this universe. Okay, and then he starts summarizing what he has spoken to Narada Muni. He says that, understand, if I have to conclude my teachings in one line, he says that the Lord Narayan is beyond the three gunas, but for the purpose of creation, maintenance and destruction, he accepts the three gunas through the agency of Maya, and understand that I create being ordered by him, Lord Shiva destroys being ordered by him, and he himself maintains. Therefore, that answers your other question, Yat Param. Who is the topmost person? It is Lord Narayan only. Thus, I have answered your question. So in conclusion, understand that there is nothing in this world in the form of cause and effect that exists in this world without other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is his energy. But Narada Muni may ask, why should I believe you? Why should I not believe the other opinions? So he says, Nabharati Mengam Rishopalakshate. My words are never false, my mind is never false, my senses are never false, because within my heart, with great zeal and enthusiasm, I embrace the lotus feet of Lord Hari. I am such an exalted personality. My tapasya gave birth to this whole material universe, and all the great Prajapatis worship me. Still, I cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can the others claim so? So therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, who bestows all the result for all the sadhanas. He is the one who is capable of bestowing the results of all sadhanas. Actually, I do not know, nor do you know, nor does Lord Shiva know about the material and spiritual worlds. But we are interested only in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what we are concerned about. And in that note, now let me glorify the Purushavataras who are my immediate boss in creation. So, he glorifies Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. He glorifies the Brahman feature. He says that how one approaches this Brahman feature, worships this Brahman feature by following a spiritual process and not by blind logic, mundane logic. And then further he glorifies Mahavishnu as being, as telling that whatever you see in this material world is just an energy of this Mahavishnu. But finally he says that even though everything is Krishna, everything is the Supreme Lord, but anything of this material world is not his Swarupa. It does not belong to his Swarupa. Like that. And then he says, my dear Narada Muni, I have in detail described whatever you asked me for. You asked me for creation, which is Purushavatarakata, but the Leelavatarakata is very dear to my heart. So let me now speak about the Leelavatarakata. So he says the nature of this Leelavatarakata is that it dries up all the desire to hear anything else. They are glorified for its valuable content. They are very pleasing to hear and they are meant to be relished. That is the sixth chapter. Then he actually starts speaking about the Leelavatarakata. So he speaks Leelavatar we saw. Here does not necessarily indicate only Leelavatar, but it includes Leelavatar, Manvantaravatar, Gunavataras and everyone. Manos, their vibhutis, everything. So, in detail he describes about this. And then finally, he says that it is impossible to understand the extent of Lord Vishnu's prowess. What to speak of me, even Sesha cannot understand. He has been chanting about the glories of the Lord since time immemorial, still he is chanting, he has not come to an end. But those people who receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can understand the Lord and cross over this ocean of material existence. But how does one get the mercy of the Supreme Lord? By surrendering to a devotee. Then they can te dustaram adhidaranti cha devamayam naisham mamahamidhi swashrgala bakshi. What is the proof? He gives a list of people who have understood Krishna and crossed over the ocean of material existence in this way. In that he gives his own name as the first, Lord Shiva as second, and Narada Muni as third. Or Narada Muni as second, Lord Shiva as third. Indicating that no kind of material qualification one can know the Supreme Lord in that way. The only qualification is to be a devotee of the Lord. But one may say that all these people are very exalted people. So it seems like one needs to be materially very exalted to attract the mercy of the Lord. So he says, no. Tevai vidanti jigaranti cha devamayam stri shudra hona shabara apipapa jiva yadi adbhuta krama parayana shila shikshas. They must only be convinced of putting themselves under the tutelage of a devotee and get trained. And then he glorifies the Brahman and Paramatma feature also. But then he says that even though the Brahman and Paramatma feature are non-different from Bhagavan, but nevertheless, worship, the only aspect of the Absolute Truth that is worth worshipping is the Bhagavan feature only. And therefore, those who aspire for the Bhagavan feature are superior to the worshippers of Paramatma and Bhagavan and Brahman, because they eventually give up their sadhana at the time of attaining the prayojan. So that sadhana which is given up eventually is inferior. So therefore that prayojan is also inferior. But that sadhana which is not given up is superior, and that prayojan of prema is superior. And moreover, it is the Bhagavan feature only who bestows the results for even the Paramatma worshipping yogi and the Brahman worshipping jnani. So therefore, I have now spoken to you in detail about whatever you asked, my dear Narada Muni, about understand that this universe and the jivas are none other than the Lord, in the sense that they all are His energies, but being energies, they are also different from Him. So the conclusion of my teachings is Achinta Bhedabhed Tattva, and whatever I have spoken to you is called Bhagavatam, and this Bhagavatam is nothing but a compendium or a collection of vibhutis of the Supreme Lord. Now that you have heard it, with hearing comes responsibility of distributing it. So distribute it. While distributing, two things you have to take into consideration. One is distribute in such a way that it enhances devotion within the heart of the hearer. Second thing, take a sankalpa and distribute. You have to give me your preaching report. But while distributing, don't neglect the Siddhanta. Don't neglect this part of the Lord's dealings with the material energy. Mayam varnayato amushya ishvarasya anumodatah shrinvata shraddaya nityam mayayatmanamuyyati. Because the living entities, especially the conditioned living entities of this material world, need to hear about the activities of the Supreme Lord with respect to the material potency, because only then they can overcome the influence of Maya. Like that, Brahmaji finally ends his description to Narada Muni with this very important injunction. Then 8th chapter starts, where after hearing this Parikshit Maharaj, he is very eager to hear about what about the preaching exploits of Narada Muni. Whom all did he meet? Whom all did he preach to? So please speak about that. So, and please speak, Shukadeva Goswami, so that while giving up my body, I have a very sound remembrance of Krishna. Because I know this greatness of this path of hearing. Shrinvata Shraddaya Nityam Granatascha Svacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. The Lord enters the heart. Pravishta Karana Randrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salila Syata Sharat. And the Lord cleanses the heart and makes it ready for Him to stay. Dautatma Purusha Krishna Pada Molam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Pantaha Swasharanam Nita. And such a person whose heart has been cleansed never wants to give up the lotus feet of the Lord. So he feels like a tired traveler who has come back after a tired journey. He never wants to give up home. So now, and then he asks a series of questions about the first question being, how did this living entity which is spiritual and the body which is material, how did they develop a relationship with each other? And then he asks about the body of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, Virat Rup. What is the difference between the nature of the form of the Lord and the nature of the form of the living entity? Is the difference only in size, or is there something more fundamentally different? And then he asks various questions, some of which are relevant for pure devotees, many of which are relevant for pure devotees, and some of which are developed for relevant for like Varnashram and other subject matters are relevant for mixed devotees, Mishra Bhaktas. Like that, he asks many things about time, about Varnashram, about Pashandi's creation, about Vedic cosmology, about about the various yugas, the yuga dharmas, the yuga avataras, about sadharana dharma, about the dharma of the vaishyas and kings, about tatkal dharma or apad dharma. And he talks, he asks about the enumeration of elements, about sankhya philosophy. He asks about how the yogis give up their body, where do they go after living, what is the conclusion of the Vedas, Upavedas, etc. He asks about the dissolution, he asks about kamya karma, smartha karma, and so on. Like that, so many questions that he asks. And finally, he says that whatever I have asked and whatever I have not asked, please answer all these questions. Because I consider you as the perfect authority, just like Brahma, because you have heard the knowledge in parampara. And don't think about that I am tired because of continuous hearing. I am getting a lot of nourishment from hearing this Krishna Katha. So having requested like this by Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami becomes very pleased, and he spoke in response this Purana called Bhagavatam, which Brahmaji heard from the Supreme Lord Narayan himself. So he started answering these questions, not in the sequence in which the questions were asked, but in the sequence of topics. That is the 8th chapter. Then, so he says, he answers the first question, how did this living entity and the material body establish a relationship? He says it's an invalid question because there is no real relationship that is established between the material body and the spiritual living entity. It's just like a dream, but it's such a realistic dream that till the living entity comes out of it, his suffering is very much real, and the means of getting out of this dream-like suffering within the dream is if he develops an attraction and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now let me, you had also asked about the nature of the God Lord's form, so, and further questions. I will answer these questions by quoting a conversation that happened between Brahmaji and Lord Narayan. Once Brahmaji performed such a very sincere devotional tapasya, but the Supreme Lord was very pleased with him. What exactly happened? He elaborates. Once upon a time, Brahmaji was sitting on top of the lotus and wondering, how am I going to create? But he could not understand. At that point of time, he heard tapa, tapa. So, understanding that it is for his own benefit, so he started performing very intense tapasya with very sincere motive. So, at that point of time, it is mentioned that the Supreme Lord became very pleased with that kind of tapasya, and he appeared there and showed to Brahmaji his own Mahavaikuntha planet. And then there is a description of this planet where there is no influence of sattva, rajas, tamas, etc. And then he says that, and the denizens of that planet, the male denizens are dark in color, just like dark rain clouds, and the female denizens are fair in complexion, just like lightning, and they travel around in huge airplanes which resemble the sky. And Mother Lakshmi, he saw in that Vaikuntha, is engaged in either serving the Supreme Lord or singing his glories. And then the Supreme Lord was there sitting in his darbar, surrounded by all the energies, and being served by the foremost of his associates like Nanda, Sunanda, Prabala, Arhana, like that. And then when he saw the Lord, he saw that, I have really chosen the right Lord as my master, because he seems to be very affectionately disposed towards his servants. So he was sitting there endowed with all his opulences, some temporary, some permanent, and he was and seeing that beautiful darshan of the Supreme Lord, Brahmaji becomes very overcome with ecstatic symptoms. And and the Supreme Lord also, seeing Brahmaji become overcome with prema, he comes running to shake hands with Brahmaji. So he shakes hands in a very reassuring way. Don't worry, my dear Brahmaji, your desire to become empowered to create this universe will definitely be fulfilled. I want to tell that I am very pleased with this tapasya that you performed. Don't think that it is very easy to please me. The Kuta yogis can never please me with their false kind of austerities. So therefore, please ask me for any benediction. By the way, the greatest benediction that anyone can get is to have my darshan. But still you can ask for other benedictions. And also, taking darshan of my form actually answers all questions. But still, if you may have some further questions, I am willing to answer. Before you ask, I would like to clarify that when you are wondering who spoke this tapa tapa, you know, actually I was the one who spoke this tapa tapa. I am very pleased with this tapasya that you performed. In fact, I also gain all my power for creation, maintenance and destruction from tapasya only, which is detachment. So Brahmaji says, my dear Lord, you are a super soul present in everyone's heart, so you know what everyone desires. But nevertheless, because you have asked, I will ask you. I would like to know about the material and spiritual forms of the Lord. This is the first question answered in first Chatushloki. Then he asks, what is the role of Yogamaya? What is the role of Mahamaya? Second question. Then, how does the Lord relate with Yogamaya and how does the Lord relate with Mahamaya? This is the third question. Then, my dear Lord, please tell me, how can I engage in executing your orders of creating the bodies of the living entities in this material world while simultaneously protecting myself from the influence of mode of passion and ignorance? So, in response to this, the Supreme Lord says, my dear Brahmaji, now I will give you that knowledge. Jnanam paramagrihyam me yad vijnana samanvitam sarahasyam tadangam cha grahana gaditam maya. I will give you the most secret knowledge of my form along with the realization of that form, and I will also speak about the means to attain that knowledge, which is sadhana bhakti, and the means to attain that realization, which is prema bhakti. And once you get this knowledge, you will be able to perfectly understand in all avatars that I descend, you will be able to understand my dimensions, my intentions, forms, qualities, pastimes, everything. So then he speaks the first Chatushloki. I will just quote the Chatushloki because we have elaborately discussed. Aham eva sameva agre nanyadyat sadasattaram paschad aham yadetaccha yova shishyat sosmiham. This is the answer for the first question that he has about the material and spiritual forms. What is the role of Yogamaya? What is the role of Mahamaya? This is the answer. In this we saw three different explanations, two by Vishnu Chakra Thakur and one by Srila Prabhupada. Then, how does the Lord relate to the realms which are controlled by Yogamaya and Mahamaya? Yata mahanti bhutani bhutesh uchchavacheshu anupravishtani apravishtani tatateshu nateshvaham. The way he relates is the way the elements of that particular realm, the way they relate with all living entities, the same way the Supreme Lord also relates. Which means he is very attached to the realm of spiritual world and he is very detached from this material world. And finally, he says, what is that process which can protect one from the influence of the modes? Etava deva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunatmana anvaya yatirekabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvata. Then finally, he says, how do you apply and get benefited from this Chatushloki? Yetan matam samadhishta paramena samadhina bhavan kalpa vikalpeshu navimuhyati karhichit. If you follow these instructions in detail and with extreme concentration, then you will never be bewildered by Maya. So after speaking this, the Supreme Lord disappeared, and Brahmaji, then after getting this, he offered his obeisances, and with this understanding, he created the universe as it was created before. And then, after this conversation happened, once upon a time, Narada Muni approached Brahmaji and pleased him with all his good qualities. And when he understood that Brahmaji was pleased, he requested him to speak. He asked those questions about which I spoke to you in 5th, 6th and 7th chapters. So he is putting this whole, these two conversations in the proper chronological perspective. Then he says that, so now I will explain, I have answered a few of your questions. The rest of the questions now I am going to answer, especially the one that you asked about the universal form. So he says that in response, Brahmaji spoke to Narada Muni, Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Dashalakshanam. That Bhagavat Puran which has 10 topics. So that is the connection for the 10th chapter. So where he says that what are those 10 topics? Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanamotaya Manvantareshanukata Nirodha Muktirashra. And he says especially in Bhagavatam, the other 9 topics are discussed for the sole purpose of glorifying the 10th topic. And what these 10 topics are, he describes in detail. So, you know, Sarga is creation, primary creation, which is carried out by the glancing of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. And Visarga is creation of bodies. Sthanam is Vedic cosmology. Poshanam is special protection of the Lord towards his devotees. And Manvantara refers to the activities performed by the Manus during that age. And Uti refers to Karma Vasana, how impressions inspire action. And Ishanukata is descriptions of the pastimes of the lords, avatars and devotees. Especially, it is composed of short stories. And Nirodha means the various kinds of destruction, 12th canto. And Mukti is Muktir Hitva Anyata Rupam Sarupena Vyavasthitihi. This is described in the 11th canto. And Ashraya, he says, whatever gives shelter to these 9 topics starting from Sarga and ending with Nirodha, that is called Ashraya. And that Ashraya is also called Parabrahma and Paramatma. And he says that, now let me try to explain to you about this Ashraya Tattva by taking the example of Paramatma. He says that there are these 3 Purushas, Adhyatmik, Adhibhautik and Adhidevik Purushas, which are the 3 layers. All 3 of them are dependent on each other for their functioning. But the living entity is not dependent on any of these 3 Purushas for their functioning. But the living entity is not supremely independent. It is dependent on the Paramatma for its functioning. But the Paramatma is Swa-Ashraya. It's its own shelter. So like that he establishes Paramatma as the Ashraya Tattva. Then he says, now I will describe to you. You wanted further details about the universal form. Let me describe further details. So in this 3rd description of universal form, he says that how it is the desire of the living entities which give rise to their gross and subtle bodies. So before that, he gives a very quick recap of the Karana Srishti and Karya Srishti in a not so chronological order. So same thing that we saw in the 5th chapter he describes. Then he says, then he starts this description of the universal form, first describing how from the ether the Sutra Tattva is created, and the Sutra Tattva creates hunger and thirst, then mouth manifested, then tongue manifested and so on. And the sutra that we saw is first the living entity desires to see, and first the gross eye manifests, then the subtle eye and Suryadev manifest, then the sense of then the Tanmatra manifests. That in that order the whole description of the manifestation of the universal form is given. Then it is mentioned that now that I have described to you this universal form, and understand that this universal form that I have described is further covered by 8 other layers. Pumirapan Alava you come, then Ahankar, Mahatattva and Pradhan. But apart from this gross universal form, there is also a subtle form, just like the living entities have a gross body and subtle body. But intelligent people do not accept these 2 aspects to be worshipable. Because Maya Srishti, because they are created by Maya. That's about the universal form that you asked. You asked about Visarga. I will describe it in detail in the 3rd and 4th cantos, but I will just touch upon it. This Visarga is carried out by Brahmaji, but actually it is the Supreme Lord in the form of Brahma who carries out this secondary creation, and he creates various living entities like the Gandharvas, Chavanas, Siddhas, etc. And the basis of this creation, basis of giving these various bodies is the karma. Kushala, Akushala, Mishra. 3 types of karma, different types of body. So that's about primary, secondary creation and the basis of secondary creation. And Vishnu himself maintains and he empowers Lord Shiva to annihilate this material universe. So my dear Parikshit Maharaj, I have now described to you about in detail about these Purusha avatars. But understand that appreciation of the absolute truth on the level of Purusha avatars is not the highest appreciation. There are still greater devotees who know to appreciate the Lord in His terms. So in this context, we sang this beautiful bhajan, Yashomati Nandana. And then it is mentioned that throughout scriptures, the direct involvement of the Supreme Lord with respect to creation, maintenance and destruction is denied. The Supreme Lord does not directly create, maintain and destroy this material universe. He does it through the agency of Maya. But His name is mentioned because so that people do not think that Maya Devi is independently creating, maintaining and destroying. So now I have the life of Brahma is divided into various kalpas. So I have described to you that the general procedure is that at the beginning of the life of Brahma, Sarga happens, and at every day of Brahma, beginning of every day, Visarga happens. So I will, various other of your other questions remain unanswered. I am definitely going to answer those questions, but now I would like you to hear about Padma Kalpa, at which stage Shaunaka Rishi say, "Oh, we want to hear about this conversation between Maitreya and Vidura." And in response, Sutta Goswami says, "How wonderful! The same question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami." So definitely, I will answer these questions to you in detail. Thus end the second canto. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So thank you very much. It was a great pleasure again discussing Bhagavatam with all of you. The additional icing on the cake was the presence of Baldev Prabhu and His Grace Premarinam Prabhu. So it was really nice. You know, I really, after I took Nectar of Devotion to all of you, I had a desire that definitely when you come for Bhagavatam, I should spend some time with you and take all your association. I had a very good experience. Especially your presentation, I really liked. I still remember that drama that Advaita Prabhu and all of you, you know, Harshad Prabhu and who else? Tejas Prabhu. You know, if possible, you know, then you have an off day and I have an off day. You know, let's come together sometime and, you know, do something like that. You know, it would be nice. It has been a marathon for both of us, but it was nice. I really relished it. Srila Prabhupada ki.